This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast for the latest Indiana farm news and weather and a market recap as well. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. C.J. Miller and Greg Allen have the news today, including a plan to increase the number of livestock veterinarians and a new soybean seed that has gotten a good test in fields this year. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast has mostly dry weather continuing today and tomorrow, and the grain and oil seed markets were closed for Labor Day. We're joined, though, by analyst John Zanker for thoughts as we start a new month of trade. All straight ahead on the Hat Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Increasing the number of veterinarians and helping soybean farmers stay one step ahead. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, there have been a shortage of veterinarians across the U.S. for quite some time, and that's why USDA is introducing a plan to help increase the number of veterinarians across the U.S., especially livestock veterinarians. C.J. Miller has more.
Food animal veterinarians currently make up about 5%, only 5% of the total veterinarian population, a stark decline from just 40 years ago.
That's U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
USDA is issuing the Rural Veterinary Shortage Action Plan. We are enhancing and streamlining USDA's veterinary grant programs. We are making an additional $15 million available for the Veterinarian Medicine Loan Repayment Program and streamlining the application process.
Rollins talked about the other steps that USDA plans to take with the Rural Veterinary Shortage Action Plan.
We are commissioning new economic research to analyze and project veterinary shortages in rural areas, especially for food animal veterinarians. USDA is pursuing strategies to make federal service more attractive for our vets, to create a direct pipeline into public service. And lastly, we will work with veterinarian schools across the country to increase recruitment from rural America.
Missouri Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith says she's also seen the challenges of veterinary shortages.
I know firsthand the hardships that farmers face when it comes to veterinarian care. The announcement made today, it's going to have significant impact.
You can read the full details of USDA's Rural Veterinary Shortage Action Plan at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Get ready for the 63rd Annual Farm Science Review, September 16th through 18th near London, Ohio. Dozens of new exhibitors join the hundreds of displays this year across the 100-acre exhibit area, field demonstrations, and Gwynn Conservation Area. Pre-sale discounted tickets can be purchased online at the Farm Science Review website. Plan your show with the digital directory and the mobile app available now. The 63rd Farm Science Review, September 16th through 18th.
Soybean growers are facing increasing pressure to maximize yields amid unpredictable weather, pests, and tight margins. But a new solution is helping farmers stay one step ahead.
Soybean breeders are a really critical component of yield, right? So genetic gain year on year is really what farmers are after. And so our breeders are really focused on yield, and especially in a year like this year where we've had maybe excess moisture in some areas, the beans are getting taller. So standability is another really key indicator, you know, what farmers are looking for. And this is going to be a good year to really get a handle on, you know, which varieties are able to withstand and some of the taller heights and because of the moisture.
That was Mark Hubler, lead agronomist for Zotavo, who explains Zotavo is more than just a seed. It's part of a performance-driven system developed by BASF. Zotavo soybeans combine high-yielding genetics with the trusted Enlist E3 trait technology, giving growers enhanced weed control options
and strong agronomic characteristics.
I've never had a farmer ask me, you know, what's old. They want to know what's new. And Zotavo is new. The genetics are new. They're diverse. They're a new germplasm pool that's never been planted in the U.S. before. So they're going to provide some things that other brands don't.
And with BASF's agronomic support and field data backing every variety, growers can feel confident they're planting more than just a seed. They're investing in a system for success. For more, visit ZotavoSoybeanSeed.com. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, looking at a sunny, warm, and dry setup for Tuesday and Wednesday. Today and tomorrow, looking pretty nice across the Hoosier State. There still is some moisture holding down to the south over parts of western Kentucky, western Tennessee. Some cloud cover from that is going to sneak into southern parts of Indiana. But right now, I do not think we see significant rainfall threats, just some cloud cover down there. So again, a mostly dry day today and tomorrow. Southwest flow is going to dominate, and that's going to creep our humidity values up a little bit. Not oppressive by any stretch, but definitely a little bit more humid over the next couple of days, particularly tomorrow, than what we've seen over the past few days to this point. Now, next frontal boundary is working in overnight tomorrow night through Thursday. Admittedly, the low is going to circulate through the Great Lakes, and the biggest rain threats are going to be in Michigan, particularly central and northern Michigan. But the front gives, I believe, almost 90% coverage of chances of moisture through the Hoosier State. Now, are the chances huge? No. Moisture totals huge? Absolutely not. I'm going to say anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch, about 90% of the state seeing that. The best chances for half an inch or more, mostly in the northern third, but it is moisture. We start to clear out probably midday to early afternoon on Thursday in central and northern parts of Indiana. May take a bit longer down in the south, and we definitely clear out overnight Thursday night into Friday. With the clear out, we are going to be seeing significantly cooler temperatures roll back in. Maybe not right away. That Thursday-Friday time frame is one step down, but a secondary batch of cloud cover and maybe even a secondary front trying to come through overnight Friday night into Saturday. I think that's where the next leg down in temperatures really is over the weekend. So all of the social media meteorologist posts out there about how cold it's going to be, this front, that front, 30s, blah, 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 blah. Overdone. Way overdone at this point. Is there going to be a chance of some early frost or 30-degree temperature readings in parts of Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, the UP? Absolutely. Is that out of the ordinary for early September? Well, okay, maybe kinda, but not really. But all of the talking points that have been trying to drag it down farther south, just absolute poppycock. We're going to definitely cool off, that's for sure, but nothing like what has been thrown out there, at least in some of the stuff I've seen. Now, the cool temperatures do hold through the weekend and into early next week. I do think once we get into Monday afternoon and Tuesday, we'll start to see the cool temperatures ease. Warmer air coming in from midweek forward next week, but not a lot of precipitation. We had been looking at maybe a front trying to come together next Thursday. That's fallen completely apart now. We're looking at a better chance at moisture, I think, as we finish out next weekend and go into the week of the 15th. But even then, not stellar chances. So, definitely drier than normal here. Good chances of rain this Thursday. After that, not the best. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
When it comes to buying seed, you can have your cake and eat it too when you order from Seed Genetics Direct. Finance next year's seed order through SGD Financing or John Deere Finance and pay 0% interest through January 2027. Unbeatable seed quality for an unbeatable price, plus zero interest financing from the fastest growing independent seed company in the Eastern Corn Belt. Now that's a slice of cake no grower can turn down. Seed Genetics Direct, value, knowledge, performance, it's in our genetics.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Monday Farm Market Review. However, Labor Day Monday and no markets, they were closed. When we last saw market activity, it was a rally in Chicago with December corn going up a dime and a quarter, 420 and a quarter. November beans, 6.5 higher, 1054 and a half. And December wheat up a nickel and a quarter, 534 and a quarter. On Monday morning, I did chat with market analyst John Zanker. He is at Risk Management Commodities. First of all, John, let's look back to last week. It was a nice end to the month of August as we get set for September trade. Maybe a bit of a surprise just how much the markets expanded their positions up over a dime on corn, for starters.
Well, it was a bit of a surprise. There's just a lot of talk now about, Southern Rust is certainly getting a lot of attention. We've gone without rain and a pretty good portion of the Corn Belt here for a couple weeks. The cool temperatures are helping with that. But, I've mentioned it to you before. I really don't like August. And it's just a really difficult month, it seems like, for the grain marketing business and farmers and trying to get a handle on their crops. And it's supposed to rain and it doesn't. And just to keep things more interesting, Mother Nature throws in Southern Rust this year. As if we didn't have enough going on with tar spot here in the Eastern Belt, we throw in Southern Rust in the Western Belt. So just more things to digest. And, here we are. Looks like there could be some rain this week. We're seeing some rain in the far western Corn Belt this morning. Those areas, if you can throw the Southern Rust out, they're going to finish strong. They're going to have most of those states are probably in line for record corn yields. But, how big is this Southern Rust issue? I guess we're just not going to know for sure until the combines start to roll.
I do have to say, as far as Augusts go, it was one of the more pleasant August, at least the way it has finished out. And we do begin September with some decent conditions. What kind of expectations do you have as far as a finish for the crops?
Well, the USDA is at 188.8. The second I saw that, I felt that was high. And I've seen a good portion of the Corn Belt, and it's as good as I've ever looked. But, we have had some drier conditions than we would have liked to here in the Eastern Belt, especially Southern Illinois, and that's a pretty big deal, of course. And some spots in Indiana and Ohio and Kentucky. So it's just difficult to get a handle on it. But I'm not in the camp that we're going to fall back to this past year's 179 yield. I think we'll stay above 180. I think that's assuming that tar spot isn't worse than they're currently thinking. So my low end on this is, Andy, on this corn yield is about 182.5 and the top end at 186.5. And we're just not going to have a great complete handle on this, obviously, until the combines start to roll and we get a little bit more of a hint of what's going on out there. Again, I've been across the belt two times, a good portion of it, and it looked really good the second time, and that second time was 10 days ago. We'll see what happens. Soybeans, 53.6 from the USDA. I think we can still make that, but I think a lot of that depends on how much moisture we see here in the Eastern Corn Belt this week.
Commentary from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. John's number is 866-837-9027. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.